From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Today, the United States Supreme Court wrapped up its term with a decision that casts doubt on a law intended to punish child pornographers. The court ruled that the federal law is likely unconstitutional. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
This is the second time Congress has tried to make it a crime to make sexually explicit material available to children on the net. Its first attempt, the Communications Decency Act, was ruled unconstitutional in 1997. In response, a year later, Congress passed a second law. It makes it a criminal offense to post on the Internet for commercial purposes any material that is, quote, harmful to minors. But it makes it legal to post such material if the purveyor can show that access was restricted to those with credit cards or proof of age. Today, the Supreme Court all but invalidated the law by a 5-4 vote. The 5-member majority said a lower court was right to block the law from taking effect pending a trial because the law restricts legitimate speech and there appear to be less restrictive ways, such as blocking and filtering software on computers, to accomplish the same result. Indeed, the court said filtering devices are more effective since they filter out material from overseas, not just the United States. The ruling came in a case brought by a wide variety of plaintiffs, from the American Association of Publishers to websites that offer everything from medical advice on women's health or HIV, to websites that include photos of artistic works from classical to iconoclastic nudes. The websites argued that if the law went into effect, they would be forced to censor themselves in order to avoid criminal prosecution. The Supreme Court agreed with their concern. Writing for the majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy said that a free society is threatened by any restriction on the content of speech, and thus that the Constitution demands such restrictions be presumed invalid. Unless the government can show it has a compelling justification for the limits it's imposing, and that they're imposed in the least restrictive way, Kennedy noted, the state's restrictions on speech must fall. In this case, he said, the material at issue is legitimately of interest to millions of adults, and there are plausible, less restrictive ways of limiting children's access to the material. Kennedy acknowledged that filtering devices are not perfect, that they often screen out too much or too little, but he pointed to the fact that the commission created by Congress to study the issue found explicitly that filtering software is more effective than criminal statutes in limiting children's access to smut on the net. Lawyers on both sides of the issue agreed today that while the court technically kept the case alive by sending it back to the lower courts for trial, the chances of the law being upheld are negligible. Here's Jay Sekulow of the Conservative American Center for Law and Justice.
The government certainly has the right to continue, but it is clearly, based on the Supreme Court's decision, an uphill battle.
He said he did not see how Congress could regulate Internet smut in the aftermath of today's ruling.
The Supreme Court's decision today almost forecloses Congress's ability to address that issue, and I think that's the really unfortunate aspect of this.
But the ACLU's Ann Beeson noted that the court in today's Internet case had applied the same standards it uses for other media.
Look at the shows that are on cable TV now. Look at R-rated movies and how ubiquitous they are in homes, not just at the movie theaters. People watch R-rated movies all the time at home with their kids around, and nobody has ever suggested that you make it a crime to sell an R, you know, or to rent an R-rated movie to a family that's going to go home and watch it in front of the kids.
Joining Justice Kennedy in the majority today were Justices Stevens, Souter, Ginsburg, and Thomas. Dissenting were Chief Justice Rehnquist and Justices Breyer, Scalia, and O'Connor. Said Breyer, if this statute, when read narrowly, does not pass constitutional muster, then what does? And if nothing does, then the court should say so. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.